Our reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, from verses 3 to 8, and that's on page 599 of the Pew Bibles. That's Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 3 through to verse 8. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Amen. God will bless this reading of his word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Declared on the 6th of April, 1320, the Declaration of Arbroath is seen by some as one of the most elegant expressions of nationhood, a plea for Scottish independence and self-rule. However, the point of a declaration is to declare something which is true, some fact, and by declaring it, achieve it. By that measure, it might be argued that the Arbroath Declaration is more like an expression of hope, a statement to start a discussion, rather than a declaration. For many years, we've been told that Martin Luther declared at the Diet of Worms, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Now, even though it's likely that Luther didn't say exactly those words, and they certainly sound far too polite for Luther, he did make a declaration like this, and he did make good on that declaration by standing on the word of God, which had constrained his conscience. Today we are drowning in words. There's too much talking, too many words on Facebook or Twitter, and all to too little effect. The diminishment of words in our culture results in an absence of declarations. People don't make declarations anymore, perhaps because no one would take them seriously. This gives us a problem when we come to God's word. It gives us a problem when we come to the verses that Gordon read for us earlier. These verses are declarations which God makes. God is presented as the king, the sovereign. In the culture of the day, the word of the king was absolute. If the king said it, it was guaranteed to happen. If we try to hear the words of our God in the same way as we hear modern words, disposable, cheaply spoken words, then we're not going to hear them right. We might be able to recognize that something has been said, but we'll get the message wrong. If we want to hear the words of God, if we want to hear the gracious message of our God of grace, his powerful declaration of love and mercy, we need to hear these words in the way that God speaks them. The words of the king, the words of the sovereign Lord over all creation. These words are true because God speaks them. These words will happen because God has spoken them. God doesn't need to speak. He doesn't need to speak to me or to you. That God does speak to us is a display of his amazing grace. The God of grace loves you so much that he speaks. He speaks to you because he loves you. Will you hear the words of the Lord? A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Someone is speaking. More than that, someone is crying out. The word of the Lord has been given to his prophet to declare. A way through the desert, a straight highway is to be prepared or constructed, like a great bridge across a mighty river. The Egyptians were able to figure out how to build the pyramids. The Romans could drive roads across the whole empire. Just before the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem, round about the same time, the Chinese started to build a great wall. Truly wonderful engineering projects were underway in the ancient world. Perhaps not so great as leveling out every hill and filling in every valley, but the people who first heard this declaration would have some idea of what was involved. The pyramids were built to house the dead. The Romans built roads to move their armies about their empire. The Chinese built their wall to keep the Mongols out. This desert highway also has a purpose. There is a reason for building this straight highway. It is for our God. It is so that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The declaration of grace is that God is coming to you. That's the word of love which God is crying. I am coming to you. The declaration is that nothing will be permitted to hinder or delay God's coming to you. Think of some of the roads we have in Scotland, the A9 up to Inverness or the A77 down to Stranraer. They follow the coastlines. They skirt round about hills or lochs. They cut through winding valleys and up and over hills. They are narrow and steep and twisting. I don't think there's a single road in Scotland that you could say is as the crow flies. But God declares that he is coming to you. He is not taking a narrow, twisting route. He is taking the shortest route possible. He is coming the most direct and immediate route to get to you. Anything in his way is going to be put out of his way so that he can come to you. This is grace. This is the amazing work of the God of grace. He loves you so much that he will turn the world upside down so that he can come to you. This declaration of grace is not expressed as a hope. God is not saying, oh, I hope I'll be able to come to you. It's not even a promise. God is not, for us today, saying, well, I promise that at some time in the future I will come to you. Because now, today, God has already done it. God has already come on this prepared highway. Listen to how Luke records the beginning of the gospel. The word of God, which we'll hear is the same word we've just been reading. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went to the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, John cried out, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked places shall become straight, the rough places become level, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, takes up exactly these words which we have read and uses them to declare that God has done what he said. In Jesus, God comes on this prepared way. Wonder if you noticed that when John read the verse, he changed the last line just a little. Isaiah's last line is, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh see it together." John's last line, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." The glory of God declared by Isaiah is exactly the salvation of God achieved in Jesus and declared by John. They're the same thing. God is glorified in our salvation. That's the glory of God. Do you hear the word of the Lord? Do you really hear what God is saying to us today? In Jesus, God has turned the world upside down to come and save you and me. We are saved by God coming to us. Just like one of those boats we watched the other week in Houston, or in other places where there's been flooding. A small boat coming through the flood waters to rescue and to save. The grace of God is your salvation. John declared this grace, preaching the forgiveness of sins. The flood waters which rise around us are not caused by the rain, but by our sin. Sin separates us from our God. Sin sets us in opposition to our God. All sins destroy. All sins are a disease which are fatal. There are no sins which are like the cold. You know, stay at home, keep warm, drink lots, you'll be better in a day or two. There are no sins like that. Every single sin is fatal. Every single sin is catastrophic. You can't save yourself from your own sin. No human can save you from your own sin. Only God can save you. That's what John has declared. That's what Isaiah has declared. This is why God comes to you for your salvation. Will you hear the word of the Lord? He has come to save you. Will you get into his rescue boat? Will you let him save you? This is how you hear the word. Not by discussing it, not by doubting it, but by surrendering to it. Jesus has been given by the grace of God to save you. Will you hear this word of the Lord? Will you hear it? A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Another voice, another declaration about the gracious word of the Lord to us. We know well how it is in our gardens. Just a little rain and a little sunshine and the grass sprouts up and it needs cut again. But in Judah, around Jerusalem, weeks without rain, a hot sun and a dry wind, and the grass turns brown and withers and dies. The Lord uses this picture to remind us that just as without rain the grass will die, so without his word all humans will die. Surely the people are grass. But here's the grace of the Lord. But the word of our God will stand forever. Now, often this verse and this passage is used to teach us that the Bible is the eternal word of God. And that's true. There is no question that every word of all of the 66 books in the Bible is the breathed out word of God for us in our salvation. But that's not really the point of this verse. Just as we saw John the Baptist enabled by the Spirit to take up Isaiah's words, so in the same way the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to take up these verses. verses 6 to 8, and used them in his first letter. Peter wrote, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed but imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And this is the good news that was preached to you. The purpose of God graciously declaring his word to us is not that we might have Bibles. The purpose of God declaring his word is not that we can have things to argue over or discuss or debate or disagree about. The purpose of God graciously declaring his word is that by the agency of the word of God, by his spoken word, we might be born again. We are, by God's grace, born again from the life of sin, which leads to death, born again to the new life of grace by the means of the living and abiding word of God. This is why the word of God stands or endures forever, so that, in order that, all those brought to a new birth by the enduring word are brought to a new life which endures forever. Apart from the word of grace which God speaks to you and me, we are only grass. We will surely wither and perish. Only when we hear the living and abiding word of the living and true God are we made alive. Do you hear this word of the Lord? Do you really hear it? This is a word of life for you. Saved by Jesus, with sins forgiven, we are now alive in Christ forever, filled by his Spirit with a new life to live. The word of God calls us to live generously, not grasping for ourselves, but sharing with others. The word of God calls us to live for justice, to stand up for those victims of injustice, wherever they are. The word of God calls us to live as agents of his grace. God has been gracious to us. We are to live graciously towards others. The declaration of salvation and new life, the word of God through Isaiah, through John and Peter, is not a word about some heavenly bliss waiting for us after we die, but about living the life of God's kingdom today, being saved in this life, being born again today, to live this life to the full. Do you hear? Do you hear this word of grace and new life? Do you hear? For someone today, maybe this is the first time you've heard this gracious word of the Lord. You might have thought you'd heard it before, but today the Spirit has been hammering these words in your heart, burning them deeply in you. Today you're really hearing. It might be you've heard God's gracious word of salvation. You don't need anyone to persuade you that there's a problem with your sin. You know very well the sad effects of sin in your life. You've tried to do better. You've battled against sin by yourself, but you just can't win. You just can't get free. Well, today there's good news for you to hear in the gospel. God loves you. He has come for you. Nothing is going to keep him back from you. He is coming to forgive you, to break the power of canceled sin in your life, to set you free from your sin. In Christ and in him alone, the victory over sin is declared for you. It might be you've heard God's gracious word of new birth, that invitation of God to a new life, a life given in service for others. A new birth that's not selfish, because although it is a blessing to you, through you it is a blessing to others. A new life lived in the presence of God. A new life of kindness and patience and self-control. The forever word of God declares your new life and calls you to live it today. Maybe you want to speak with someone about this before you leave today. Pray together about God's gracious word before going home. Why not at the end of the service, wait down at the front here? and I'll come and speak with you after we've been at the door. This is the declaration of God's grace, which we are to hear today. God loves you. God cries out his grace for you. God has come in Jesus to you. God has come to bring your salvation and your new birth. Will you hear the gracious word of the Lord for you? Will you receive it and live in it? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your grace, that grace from which you speak to us. And we acknowledge that we don't deserve your grace. Thank you that you have come in Jesus to save us, to rescue us from our sin. And we pray that you would take hold of us and snatch us up into that rescue boat. We thank you for the word of new birth, new life in your word. And we pray that you would make us alive in your spirit. Make us alive that we might serve others. Make us alive that we might live for you. Gracious Father, be honored and glorified among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.